In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and it's a joy to be able to bring some missionaries to you and those that I like to call a missionary staff when we are hiring folks to help us in the ministry here in the local church. We call them staff. But yet the Great Commission has been given to the church. So in my mind, missionaries are part of the church staff. And it's a joy to have John Connor up with us today. He is the executive director of the Baptist Bible Fellowship International Missions efforts around the world. Brother John, welcome.
Thank you very much. Very good to be here.
It's a life of missions for you. You were born on the mission field, parents as missionaries. Tell us a bit about your background.
Sure. My parents went to Ethiopia in 1960, and I was born in 1963 in Ethiopia. And so I grew up there until I was 13, saw my parents lead a lot of people to the Lord, but also start a number of churches and train national leaders. And then communism came to Ethiopia in the mid-70s, and we had to leave. My father was accused of treason and other things, which were, of course, false. But once they absolved the his accusations, then we had to leave the country. So we moved just south of Ethiopia to the country of Kenya. I was in high school at that time. Again, I saw my parents' ministry there. People saved, churches started, Bible college for training. So it was exciting just to see the work that my parents did as a young boy, young man.
Now, were you and your siblings involved in those works?
Yes, yes. We were involved in the ministry. We were involved in teaching Sunday schools. We were involved with the children in many different ways. Yes. And so those things impacted me quite a bit.
Exactly.
To then become a missionary later on.
I found that when the ministry is a family orientation, that kids don't feel like, well, my parents are doing other things and I'm just kind of shoved to the side. They become an integral part of that ministry, and often will go back to that mission field after college.
Yes. In fact, with our organization, a lot of our new missionaries are missionary kids because they were on the field, but were very active in the ministry, which impacted their lives.
Oh, exactly.
And many times as children, you can be an influence on people coming to church.
Yeah.
Because of your friendships with the children and the teenagers, and then they come to church. And sometimes it's because they just want to come see you.
Right, right, exactly.
In that opportunity, then, they get to hear the gospel.
Right. Now, tell us about your new responsibility. I say new. It's been, what, how many years since you became the director?
15 years.
15, okay, so that's not really new. Now tell us about that responsibility and how you're able to help missionaries.
Well, as I grew up as a missionary kid and then served as a missionary for 11 years in Kenya, my wife and I were asked to come back and work in our home office in the United States. So we did that as an associate director, and then when our former director retired, the pastor selected me to take his place. And so I work with 400 families, family units in 80 different countries around the world. So my ministry is, I break it down into three main areas. Number one, I work with pastors and churches in America.
Okay.
So we have a network of about 3,000 churches and pastors. So they call, they are inquiring about different needs on the mission field or issues, or can I come and speak in their church at their mission conference?
Sure, yeah.
And give them a world perspective of what's going on. So that's one area that I serve in. The other area would be for our missionaries. I encourage our missionaries. I communicate with them. I go visit them. I've been in 76 countries to visit our missionaries.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of communication and encouragement there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's because of my experience.
Of course.
They feel comfortable to come
right. And
talk to me and meet with me.
They know you know where they're living.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the third area is I oversee and manage our mission office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have a staff of 20.
Mm-hmm.
I have three associate directors. They've all been missionaries, one in Romania, one in Peru, and one in Korea,
wow.
South Korea. And so I oversee that. And when I'm on the road, they just do a great job. We have an excellent team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we help our missionaries in a vast number of ways. And then also we process from our churches all of their support. We average about $35 million a year
okay. That
come through our office, and we do not charge our missionaries for our service.
That's unusual.
It's very unusual, and we don't charge the churches or the missionaries. So we go out and we raise our support as well.
Okay.
Not individually, but we raise it for our office, and then that helps to oversee our budget operation.
Now, raising support is something that often scares people when they're even considering missions and things like that. What's the average duration of deputation, and maybe do you have any suggestions along that line?
Well, this is one of the discussions that many organizations are having, is how can we shorten the deputation time?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I believe deputation is very important for a number of reasons. When I first started out as a missionary raising my support, I thought, you know, my dad's been a missionary, so this ought to be pretty quick and easy. And it wasn't. And I even got a little bit upset because I thought, why aren't these pastors taking me on?
Right, right.
And it came to the point where I had to realize my faith was in the pastors and it should have been in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
So deputation taught me to put my faith in the right place, because when troubles came, and they did.
Those pastors are not going to be there.
They're not going to be there, but the Lord is always with you. And so I needed to learn that lesson. And then also I've developed a lot of great friendships across the country.
Sure, sure.
And prayer warriors, and even to this day.
Very important. Yeah.
Yes. And so they... good friends are still communicate with me, still praying for you, you know, and things like that. So deputation is very important. Right now, our missionaries on average are taking about 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay.
And it's getting a little longer as we go by. Churches are not having as many services.
Oh, sure.
And so there's not the opportunity to get into churches as often.
The virus has wiped out a lot of open doors.
Yes, and this year has changed that a lot. So, you know, it's the discussion that we have all the time. What can we do to shorten the time? And
and
I believe mainly it's just our churches have got to stay strong in their mission giving.
Uh-huh.
And our people need to be giving. I think if everyone in our churches participated in missions, our missionaries could raise their support quick.
Sure, right.
And but we're seeing that lessen and, you know, going down and down in the amount of support. In fact, to be honest with you, the younger generations don't give like the older generations did, as they do. And so I have fear that as our older generations pass on and go home, that money may be even less and less. So
sure,
we've got to teach our young families, our young people, the importance of participating in missions giving.
Are you finding missionaries getting more support from individuals as opposed to churches?
We do see that a little bit. Now, with our organization and network, we have 3,000 churches, and they're all very missions-minded and strong. So our missionaries still have a majority of their support from churches.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not against people getting it from individuals, but I still believe the Great Commission was given to the church.
Oh, exactly.
And so I think it should be done through the church
in
supporting our missionaries and sending them out.
There was a time in my early ministry that the significance of the church went back to, do you have a bus ministry? Do you have a Christian school? How many missionaries are you supporting?
Correct.
And so it was the $25 a month type of support. and 7,000 missionaries, you know?
Yes.
And so pastors' meetings would be basically a brag session.
Yes.
You know, well, we're supporting more missionaries than you are. But yet you had to go to 7,000 churches, you know, to raise your mm-hmm. support.
Mm-hmm.
Is that changing at all? Are churches raising their support per missionary?
Yes, we are seeing that right now. On average, our churches with our network, they give right at $100 a month.
Okay. All right.
So it's increased, but which is a good thing. So it makes it so they don't have to go to as many churches, but yet
right.
they still do travel quite mm-hmm. a bit and visit mm-hmm. our churches. So we're seeing that. And then a lot of churches are, what pastors ask me is, should I take on new missionaries or should I increase the support for the missionaries we already support?
You know, both are needed.
That's what I tell them. Yeah. You have to do both.
Right, right.
But I encourage them to definitely increase the amount mm-hmm. if they can,
mm-hmm.
and then also look to taking some new ones on.
If there is a missions committee, that really puts the burden on the committee to do research, to find out what's the exchange rate in
yes.
each one of the countries, what's the inflation rate. You know, what are the needs?
Yes, and also the various ministries. Some missionaries have large ministries, and they might need a little bit more support.
Right.
And some just starting out, maybe not quite as much, but
mm-hmm.
but you need to keep track of that and communicate with your missionaries and find out exactly what their needs are. And then right. you can adjust that way.
So any other suggestions you can think of to expedite the process?
Well, not necessarily. We do think through this a lot, but we haven't come up with the magic solution on it.
I pastored a church once that had the philosophy that we would support our own missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, the idea was to raise missionaries in your congregation, to encourage young people become involved in missions, especially missions conference. They were assigned mm-hmm. to the missionaries. And then when they went off to college, we supported them to a degree in college. Then they came back and did a year's internship with our church. And then when we sent them to the field, we supported them 100%.
Yes.
How popular is that idea?
I don't see that very much.
Okay.
There are some churches that I know of that do that, and I would highly recommend it,
mm-hmm.
especially being involved with your young people
yeah.
when they surrender,
yeah.
helping them through their training process and being there all the way for them, I think is very, very wise
mm-hmm.
and important for a church to do. I love seeing, I think every church should be a sending church.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, out of our network of 3,000,
mm-hmm.
only 260 are sending churches.
Really?
Now, some of them may have multiple missionaries, you know, they might have 15 out of their church or something.
Okay.
But I think every church should be a sending church or working toward it. And that goes with training your young people,
right.
getting behind them, preparing them, and then supporting them all the way.
Yeah. Well, folks, we've run out of time, but join us next time as we continue the conversation with Brother John Conerup. And Brother John, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.